guys.
Yeah.
Tom's talking to Pookie.
Yeah, Pookie's running around going, getting frustrated. What you getting frustrated for, Pookie?
What's the matter?
Yeah. Little Pookie pants.
She's back there going, yeah. She just makes those little, like, groaning noises.
Danny's in the comment section saying that the porn version of this is called Cock Waves.
Four amber waves of cock.
Oh, man. Now people are going to record that. So we saw a death ship the other day, and I said it reminded me of Shockwaves, so we went ahead and watched Shockwaves. You can watch Shockwaves for free
on Pluto
TV.
Yeah.
And Pluto now has an app that you can download for your Xbox. Xbox One.
Because a couple years ago, I remember I was like, oh, I want to download a Pluto app for Xbox, and they didn't have one. No, but they do have one now.
Yeah, they got one now.
So.
So we watched it, and it's good. It's okay. It's a Florida movie. Filmed right here in Florida.
Yeah.
Where was it?
Several places. Like a lot of the swampy shit, that was Miami, around the Miami area. Coral Gables.
Yeah, Coral Gables.
And some of it was shot in Ocala, I think, as well, maybe. That's something else I'm thinking of, actually. Okay. But yeah, I think this was mostly filmed in South Florida, right around Coral Gables.
Well, I think that one, Coral Gables, that's where the hotel is.
That's where the hotel
is. In this
was.
Movie, they find this abandoned Spanish hotel. It's fucking awesome. All right. And it's in this movie. And they're pretending like they're on an island somewhere, but that's
Miami.
Nowadays, that's probably near a downtown area. But
I don't know. It's probably still swampy because there's like all the mangrove swamps and stuff like that. Okay. It's probably right around the Everglades.
It was on the coast. They showed it. They showed it from the coast, or at least I think it was that hotel. It looked like the same building. We were looking at this hotel, and it was just awesome. All these arches, and looks like old Spain. And it's probably not there anymore, because it's abandoned in this movie.
And this was made in the mid-70s.
It was abandoned then. And to look at the stuff that was in there, I'd say 1920s. At least, like, the boiler rooms and a lot of stuff, probably 1920s.
Oh, my God, the light fixtures in that open. Oh, my God, I want those.
So, probably torn down, because we were searching. It's like, what hotel is that?
And yeah, it said it was in Coral Gables.
It just says abandoned hotel, Coral Gables, but it never mentioned the hotel. So
I'm imagining it's not there anymore. And honestly, there's a lot of hotels that were built around that time period that had that same architecture. So maybe. So I couldn't really find anybody that knew exactly what hotel it was.
So a lot of the movie is filmed in this hotel. A lot of zombie action happens in it. Some of it in a swamp outside. The movie was shot for $150,000. This is a super low-budget movie.
Yeah, super cheap.
So they just worked with what they had. They had a couple of cast members that you would recognize, and a script, and some fucking dudes dressed up like Nazis. Nazi zombies with goggles and fucking bleach blonde hair.
I think, please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that this was the first movie in the Nazi zombie subgenre. Might have been. I can't really think of one prior to this. And honestly, I don't even know. I mean, I guess like the Nazis in this are zombies, but they kind of are more like vampires.
Well, they don't bite anybody.
Yeah, but they are like, they can't. Yeah. But how to kill them, this is a spoiler alert, how to kill them is...
yeah, taking their goggles off.
It's taking their goggles off.
And they pulled that right out of their ass. They pulled that right out of the ass.
Well, it's like, well, we can't afford to have them like go up in a puff of smoke or anything like that. This is a very, very, very cheap movie. Now, they did get John Carradine, he'll be in pretty much anything, though. Yeah. I love you, John Carradine. Well, he's dead, but I'm just saying that I love John Carradine.
He's the salty old sea captain.
He would be in anything.
He's the salty old sea captain that they hired to fucking as captain of the ship for the little trip that they're doing. They're taking passengers, and the trip gets all fucked up. And he tells them, we're not turning around. Fucking, you guys have paid for passage. I already spent your money. I spent the money on the ship.
So we're going on this cruise, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, right.
Ah!
And the guests on there, fucking, they're two couples, and that's it. And then the rest of it's the crew.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's just two couples that they take.
Well, wait a minute. Like, Brooke Adams is in this, and this might be her first role, or her first leading role. If you don't know who Brooke Adams is, she was in Dead Zone, and she was in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like a year or two after this.
She played Christopher Walken's girlfriend in the Dead Zone. She's cute.
She's in a shit ton of movies.
She's probably maybe 19 or 20 in the movie.
Yeah, she's very young in this. Yeah. So I kind of feel like this was maybe her she's like a big character in this.
Yeah, and she actually kind of carries the movie. She's probably one of the better actors in the movie besides the Nazi fucking admiral.
Which is Peter Cushing.
Peter fucking Cushing. Yeah, he's in it. But she spends a lot of time just fucking being herself and acting and running around in her fucking bikini top.
In a yellow bikini, so you
know. And she'll have a shirt on, but of course the bikini cop's underneath it. It's open way up to let you know.
Do you want me to button this shirt? Absolutely
should
not.
Should I run? Yes, please run. Run through the jungle. Yes. Fucking ding, 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 ding. And she's just, you know,
let
making money.
Let those boobies bounce.
Yeah, she's making money. That's what they hired her for the movie. And
I always liked Brooke Adams. She was like, she's a good job. Guy. Yeah,
and then her boyfriend's in it. He's just kind of like this typical '70s dude with a stash, with a porn stash.
That's not her boyfriend though. That's the crew guy.
Oh, it's the crew guy.
Yeah, because he's like, remember, he's like the second in command, captain, whatever.
Her boyfriend got killed, right?
I don't think she had a boyfriend. I think she was just on there like by herself, wasn't she? I thought
maybe
because she was kind of like making the moves on porn stash up there.
I guess so. Yeah.
So I think she was there by herself.
Yeah, and then there was another couple with him who's the dude of the couple is just the biggest douche.
Norman. Because of course his name is Norman.
Yeah, Norman's uptight. He's like a fucking male Karen.
I was just gonna say. I even called him Karen when we were watching the movie. Yeah. Like, put a sock in it, Karen.
Yeah, he's kind of like the comedic relief. He's like your standard issue dick. And fucking, he's in there for comedic relief.
And he's got those fucking plaid shorts with the Izod shirt tucked into it, and the boat shoes with no socks.
Yeah.
And he's got glasses, and he's kind of dumpy.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those
uptight douche.
And he just keeps coming in trying to tell everybody else I don't think the people that are running the ship know what's going on. Yeah, they don't even know how to boil water, much less sail in it. Right. Blah blah blah. So I'm just like, when is this guy going to get eaten by an anaconda? Come on, step it up, movie.
And his girlfriend is kind of like a short blonde.
That's his wife, I guess.
It's his wife, short blonde. She at first seems to be kind of like in her 40s, but when you actually, as the movie fucking goes on, you realize that she's actually young. She's probably late 20s, early 30s.
She just looks old because she's had to put up with his crap for so long.
they tried to frump her out to make her look middle-aged, but she's not middle-aged, and she's kind of cute. And you know, they were just didn't want you to realize that, I think, in the beginning. You know how it is. They used to fucking dress certain women, dress them to appear older than they were in these movies.
Yeah, this is the middle-aged Hausfrau, even though she's obviously like 22.
Exactly. It was somebody's friend. They wanted her on. They wanted her in the movie. You know what I mean? She was cute, but they just had to frump her up. She did still did a good job in the movie.
Having to put up with Norman.
Yeah,
fucking Norman.
Well, the ship kind of basically ends up getting shipwrecked, I guess.
Well, it's kind of like a death ship situation in the sense
they get
that
rammed,
weird shit starts happening first, right? Because at first it's like daytime and they're all, you know, it's like a pleasure cruise ship, but it's kind of a janky one.
Yeah, like a 3-hour tour.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of situations. Like and so they're out on that thing. I guess it's supposed to be the Caribbean or the Gulf of Mexico or whatever. And then they never really say. It doesn't matter.
It's Florida.
It's Florida. Yeah. That's where they shot it. And So like weird shit starts happening at first because remember like the sun goes all yellow and like the lighting goes real funny and like all the crew are kind of like, what the fuck? I've never seen anything like this before. It's super weird. But then John Carradine is like, what's everybody getting all excited about? It's just some fucking stuff from under the ocean. You know what I mean? So it's like that. And then, but still like the other crew are just like, yeah, but still though. And then they're there in the middle of the night and then they hear something weird and then it looks like a big ghost ship, a la Death Ship, goes by them.
Yeah, and grazes the ship.
And kind of grazes the ship.
Yeah.
But then, like, when everybody comes out, like, with the lights and the flares and everything, they don't see it. All they see is this really, really old wreck.
And the captain's gone.
That's, like, far away. Yeah, and then they can't... Well, the next morning, they can't find the captain. They can't find John Carradine. So,
never really explained. They do find him.
Not really. Yeah. So he's, I mean, because John Carradine does kind of like laugh at the other people. It's like, what do you think? There's a ghost ship out there? You know, so it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But because he does see a ship, like Pornstash sees a ship, yeah. right?
Right.
But then when they look at the lights, it's not, there's a ship, but it's like a wreck, and it's yeah. obviously not moving.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, this whole movie is a flashback.
It's See, not, now, I think that was, and I watched some other reviews of it, and they're just kind of like, why the fuck did they do that? It because it's like, you know, sense. You know, spoiler alert, like I said, for a movie that's from 1977, from when yeah. I was 5 years old, you know that Brooke Adams' character is going to live. So,
because they show her
Because the she's the end. One telling, she's the one that gets rescued her. At the end, and she's the only one there. She's the final girl, I guess.
She's like the fucking Ancient Mariner out of the Rhyme of Ancient Mariner. I'll tell you my story. This is what happened.
Yeah.
And it starts off with fucking voiceovers and World War fucking II photos of German soldiers saying, you know, that there was an elite German unit that was so bad they just fought with their hands and they fought with their hands and their feet, I guess. No weapons. And they never surrendered, never did catch them.
They just kicked people just in the shins.
Yeah, just gone.
Yeah, yeah. They were the only, like, what they say, the only German unit that, like, didn't, like, in World War II that didn't yeah. have any of their members captured at yeah. any point. So they're kind of like, they're going the German, like, the Nazi super soldier yeah. route.
Yeah, super soldier route.
Right.
They were super soldiers.
Yeah. But also kind of like undead.
Yeah, they said they weren't alive and they weren't dead. They were super soldiers.
Because Peter Cushing kind of exposited right.
And then
all
it
that
starts,
they
it tells you
later.
That, and then you see a woman in a dinghy who survived, and this, he's a black dude, and his fucking son pull her out, fucking give her some water. They pull her out of the dinghy, they're in a boat, and fisherman. And the dude's doing kind of like a pretty bad Jamaican accent. You know what I mean? So he's from Florida.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out if like, it was, well, can you talk like a Jamaican? See, I thought it might have been Haitian.
Dominican Republic. You know, where are we now? You know,
But it didn't really sound like any of those. No. So I'm not sure if it was just a dude from Florida.
Yeah, it was a dude from Florida.
That said, I'm just going to give like a generic sort of Caribbean kind of sounding accent. Yeah. I'm not really sure.
It was good though, you know what I mean? They're just entertaining you. This is fucking Florida. This is Florida Man made this movie.
They did, actually.
Florida Man made this movie. It's a great movie, though. So then, get back to the thing, fucking, somehow, the Nazis, the aquatic Nazis fucking grabbed aquatic. The captain and the ship. And did it run aground?
I think it did,
It run aground.
I mean, they didn't show that because budget. No, budget but they right, did yeah. tell... Peter Cushing later.
That they somehow lost
That they
the
said, yeah, we ran aground.
Ran aground. So then they get in little fucking dinghies and go, they are able to get to shore. And dude climbs up a fucking tree to get a coconut and sees the top of this fucking beautiful Spanish building off in the distance, sticking out of the jungle. And they walk to it, and it's the hotel we're talking about. That's where this movie takes place. And it's a beautiful... old school Spanish hotel. It's in kind of 1800s, late 1800s architectural style with big sweeping arches and huge columns, and it's all stone. It looks like something out of Mexico City or, you know, Madrid or something from way back in the day.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. You expect a damn fucking church bells on the top of it. I think there was a bell in it, wasn't there?
There might have been. I'd have to, like, look. Because there was a... Oh, can I just say that the guy that climbed up the tree to look across the island, was it me or did that dude look just like John McEnroe back in the 70s?
I don't know what John McEnroe looks like.
He had that, like, Brillo hair type situation going on.
They all had perms back in the
little
70s.
A little bit like Art Garfunkel, too, but not quite as, like, you know, crazy or, like, as high volume as that.
So they get into this hotel, there's palm fronds everywhere, it's kind of fucking abandoned, and they're checking it out. I'm like, what the fuck is this place? What's it doing out here, you know? They go into the kitchen, and it's all covered in dust, but they find an aquarium with a bunch of tropical fish in it.
That are alive.
They're alive, living. And they're like, they don't say anything, but then they find this old man living out there. It's Peter Cushing. And he's all fucking like dashing survivor with his fucking... you know, brown, I guess, tattered uniform and his damn
neckerchief.
And he's taken over the hotel, and they find a main room where he is, his office is, you know, and he's got a whole fucking wall filled with mirrors. He's got his damn, which he got from the rooms, I guess. And then he's got his desk there and a big old fucking swastika, and he's just being Prussian as a motherfucker, you know. And they're like, well, what happened to you, you know? And he went out. He didn't tell him right off what was going on. He didn't want to talk to him.
At first, he was just kind of like, yeah, you guys got to get out of here. Yeah, like, it's not safe or something like that. Yeah. But then, like, after a little while, he's like, oh, well, I told you to leave and you didn't, so it's too late now. And then they were just kind of like, yo, we said that our boat ran aground, so we're kind of stuck here until we get some help. But then, like, he told him the whole story.
He said that he was a commander of this elite unit of submarine crew. And, well, wasn't their commander, was he? He just he was in charge of them, but I don't think he's originally their commander. He had a regular boat, didn't he?
I think he did.
That's what it was. He had a cargo ship, and they put him on the cargo ship. They were originally from a submarine, and when the war ended, he couldn't get them back. So he ran the ship aground, and sank it. He sunk the boat, and left them in it. And swam ashore.
So they were all kind of like just in suspended animation in there or something like that. Even though he said they still like kind of walked around and shit, but
you see them every now and then.
See, the reason they were developed to be aquatic zombies or vampires or whatever was so that you could put them in a submarine and they wouldn't ever have to surface, I guess.
Yeah, they'd live in there forever.
So they could just live in there forever and they just like lived forever.
They could live underwater.
Yeah, so they were kind of like, which is such a weird idea. Yeah. But
they didn't need food. They didn't need oxygen.
Yeah, so they would. So sometimes they'd be like, they'd go down to the beach and there'd be little pools and they'd just be laying in the pool with their like goggles on and shit like that. Well, I think Peter Cushing said, I don't know if he was their commander or whatever, but they said they made all of these and then they couldn't control them.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, duh, you should have thought of that. Let's make these murdery, undead aquatic monsters, essentially.
Said they were using them on the Eastern Front.
And then, oh, no, but we can't control them. Who would have thought?
Yeah, so they'd eventually get into a bloodlust, and they would kill German troops, too. So
they just didn't discriminate.
Yeah. But the ones he was evidently given, they were for a submarine. But they weren't in a submarine. He had them in a cargo ship. And he ended up scuttling the cargo ship and sending them to the bottom. But the cargo ship was, I guess the water wasn't deep anymore because the ship he's talking about is clearly visible.
Yeah, at least most of it was,
And that seems to be the cargo ship that they ran into.
Yeah.
Not real clear, the ghost ship in the middle of the night. So, as the story goes on, shit happens, and this happens, and this happens. I kind of couldn't keep track of everything that was happening, but they started getting attacked by the zombies.
Mostly people just ran around in
this
one.
People ran around. They get attacked by the zombies.
I gotta say.
Right.
You can really tell that this was pretty low budget.
Low budget. Then Peter Cushing tries to make contact with the zombies. They won't talk to him. They'll walk off down into the water. There are some pretty spooky shots, and when you see them, and you're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? When I was a kid, it scared the shit out of me. They were fucking spooky.
There were some kind of, like, creepy scenes of this.
Yeah. Now, when you look at them now, they're kind of funny. They got fucking real bleach blonde hair and the fucking goggles. They look like some out of Kraftwerk.
That's what I said. I was gonna say that, like, when we were watching, see, he stole my joke. So when we were watching the movie last night, I'm like, look, it's water Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
They're all like coming out of there. I think you said something about him looking like fucking Sprocket or whatever.
The Sprocket's Dieter is looking for him.
Yeah.
And the problem with them is that they got them in fucking like Wehrmacht outfits, not submarine outfits. They're fucking dressed as German infantry, you know, and the uniforms look brand new. So they've been sitting underneath the water for 30 years and not a bit of damage on the uniform. They should have been in rags, and it should have been submarine dressed as like submarine crew, I would think, or you know some.
Well, when your movie only costs $150,000, you kind of have to take what you can get. You know what I mean? It's like, we need to go to the costume shop and rent some Nazi uniforms. Can we get this wet?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, fine. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. But, well, like you said, if they'd done them in rags, then they wouldn't even necessarily have to look that much like Nazi uniforms because you could just, like, make them all in rags and shit.
The audience probably doesn't know what a damn German.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like nowadays where everyone's going to nitpick. You know what I mean? Back then, they're just like Nazis, whatever.
Just in the generic uniform. And they're wearing fucking German fucking army boots, you know, they're basically Marlboros, fucking, they're like English riding boots, and that was pretty much early in the war, and they said they were late war. But anyway, I'm picking fucking, you know,
that's what I mean.
That's
you're well actually-ing this movie.
Yeah, I'm well actually. They wouldn't have been wearing those boots, but
I kind of liked the scenes where where the water Nazis like woke up first, and then they were just like walking across the bottom of the. Of the shipwreck and stuff. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. There were some cool shots, and there was... Here's the weird thing about this movie. It's not graphic at all. There's no
gore. They don't even show any of the deaths, really.
No. Most people are killed off screen, and then they find the body.
Yeah. And the bodies aren't fucked up or anything.
No.
They just drowned.
They drowned. So you know that they didn't have the budget to actually... fucking show, and I think I don't think they wanted an R rating.
Yeah, because this is PG.
It's PG.
I think it's PG.
All right, so it's more of a thriller.
You know what's weird? This movie, it's not the same, but it gave me the vibe, the same vibe as I got from Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
I don't remember that one.
It has kind of like, and almost that, and this is going to sound shitty because this is a lot, this is like 100 times better, but it also reminded me of Blood Waters of Dr. Z.
I don't remember that one.
Otherwise known as, Zat. If you've seen it was on Mystery Science Theater. That was also shot in Florida, matter of fact. Yeah. That movie, like I said, is about 100 times shittier than this one. It probably costs like $1.98 to make. So this one's better than that. But this one kind of, it struck me as somewhere on a continuum between Blood Waters of Dr. Z and Let's Scare Jessica to Death. You know what I'm saying? Because it's Florida, it has that aquatic kind of setting, and it almost has... Like, a lot of the shots of the Nazis, like, coming out of the water and stuff like that, and there's not really any score, and it kind of has that weird, like, dreamlike, surreal kind of vibe to it, and I don't even think it was intentional. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So, that's why I'm kind of, like, feeling those two movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a bunch of good comments and questions in there you can read.
Where was this? Somebody said somebody in this movie was in Flipper. Which person?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Flipper since I was little, so I don't even like remember. Interestingly, the guy that directed this, Ken Wiederhorn. I looked him up, and he was mostly like a news and documentary guy. Like he made those, but he did TV too. He did like later on. He did like 21 Jump Street and like some of Freddy's Nightmares. Remember that show? Mm-hmm. Like the offshoot of the thing. But probably he didn't do that many movies. He did this one, which is the first one I think, and then he did Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Which, you know, was pretty decent. And then he did Meatballs, too. And a couple of other ones. I remember the first Meatballs. I don't really remember the second one. I probably saw it. But, like I said, I think this might have been the first... I know that there was, like, there was a bunch of Nazi exploitation movies in the 70s. Like, you know, She-Wolf of the SS and all that, Ilsa. But this might have been the first Nazi zombies.
I think it was.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken... Even though they're not technically zombies, they don't eat people... They don't really do anything. They just kill people. Like, they drown people.
They are undead, though.
Yeah.
But evidently, they were made out of dead soldiers. They were brought back to life. So it was technology. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Although it may have. I think it might have been some occult powers, because I think that might have been mentioned in. Because I did read about the production of the movie. The people that produced it didn't have any money, so they immediately wanted a damn horror movie. And then the people who wrote up about it said, well, okay, yeah, throw Nazis in there, too.
And yeah, because they're like, well, we can shoot in Florida, water is scary, that's
water
true.
Water is scary, and Nazis...
And hey, Nazis, let's throw some Nazis in there.
We get a good mileage out of Nazis. So it was kind of a shake-and-bake project. But for $150,000, this movie fucking worked. I think it did. And I remember watching this on cable back in California... And my uncle Red from Mountain Poltergeist liked it. This scared him because he was in his 20s. Like, oh man, that's fucked up. You know, bet you they had stuff like that. I mean, they're making a movie about it.
They're making a movie about it. Therefore, it must be real.
They knew something.
The Harry Potter movies would like a word with you.
Yeah, they knew something about it. They must have been. They were doing weird stuff back then. You know, it's like super soldier serum. You know, that's you know he. things are kind of inspired by.
Well, didn't they say, didn't this, because now I'm kind of like confusing it because we watched Death Ship and this movie in the same, like, you know, the same two nights. Wasn't there like a little bit of a thing at the beginning of this one that said they were like some kind of like energy from the center of the earth or something?
Yeah, they said energy from the center of the earth.
Right. That, so they said that, right?
Vril.
Vril. They're talking about Vril.
Yeah, so it's
so it's like magic.
Somebody did their homework. This is like Nazis at the center of the earth. You know, Vril energy.
Which, if you haven't seen Nazis at the Center of the Earth, please see that. It's so fun. Right. That's one of the good Asylum movies.
If you don't know German science fiction, there was a book called Vril, the Coming Power. Some translations are Vril, the Coming Race. And it was about a race of beings that lived in a hollow earth. And they powered their technology and their magic through some kind of a power that they called Vril. Now, Vril may be the Force, okay? And George Lucas kind of based the Force on yin-yang, and the Germanic version of yin-yang would have been the will. And because the will was Arthur Schopen, or excuse me, was the will was Friedrich Nietzsche, but also kind of Arthur Schopenhauer also talked about the will. And they're talking about the force basically, and that there's two sides of it, a negative and a positive side, destruction and creation, yin and yang. So whoever wrote this movie at least knew a little bit about German science fiction and German philosophy. Now, the reason why that's kind of been linked with the Nazis is because Nazis were made up of German people. Ain't that something? And these German people light read German science fiction, and science fiction always had an influence on people. A lot of the things about the Third Reich were science fiction from the German point of view.
Fourth Drawdown says the Vrillage. The Vrillage people.
Right.
The Vrillage people. Oh my God, that's like really funny. But
it's the same with the other kind of socialists. Fucking, they were in science fiction too. Socialism, national socialism, international socialism was always science fiction. H.G. Wells, he was big into that. What was the other one? Like Shape of Things to Come.
That's H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells, yeah. And then who was the other guy?
Jules Verne.
Jules Verne. All right. All the Fabian socialists from England were into science fiction. Futurism. That's a good way to put it. Futurism. So they talk about Vril. So you're right.
Well, what the director of this was talking about was that I think he initially got the idea to do Nazis because he was reading a book or knew somebody that was reading a book about the Third Reich and about their whole occult thing.
Yeah,
called The Morning of the Magicians.
Okay, yeah.
So so that's kind of where. So I don't know if it wasn't real clear whether he said he had read it or he knew somebody that read it and told him about it.
I haven't read that particular book, but just to warn any listeners, don't read any of those old books about German occultism and the Nazis, because some of them were good, most of them were totally made up out of thin air. So you have to be careful what you're reading. And like, for instance, the Nazi bell thing, made up out of thin air, pretty much. I don't believe the Nazi bell existed.
It's a neat story.
But there was a lot of old books. A lot of them appeared in the 60s and the 70s. That made claims that the Germans were doing certain things. And there may have been some records saying, yeah, this person was here at a particular time, and this is... But they're talking about the bell, and there's no evidence for any kind of fucking bell. Made up.
So, yeah. So, this didn't actually come out until 1977. Again, I think it was a pretty limited release, even though they shot it in 1975. And the original title, which actually I think is a better title now that I'm thinking about it, was Deathcore. Which maybe is better because, one, Shockwaves doesn't make any sense.
No.
With what? And in the UK, it was released as Almost Human.
Okay.
Which,
although, you know,
that doesn't really sound like a horror movie. It was Almost Human with an exclamation point.
I think what they're talking about from the American tour. The American title, Shockwaves, might have been good. Waves, it's the water. Shock, Death Corps, Death Troops, Shock Troops. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I get where they were going with that.
Death troops from the underneath the waves, I think is what they're talking about.
But see, shock waves to me sounds more like electrical shit.
It does.
So that's kind of why.
I think what they're talking about is shock troops from underneath the waves.
That's what I get. But yeah, I don't think that's an association. That's kind of like a couple steps removed.
They played around with those words and then, well, what's it? Shock waves. It's shocking. Underneath the waves. Yes, shocking troops from underneath the waves.
See, now, if the Nazis had some kind of, like, electrical vrill power and shocked people to death, then, see, that would have been a really good title.
That might have been originally in the idea.
Maybe, but they didn't do that. They basically just drowned people, yeah? They didn't kill anybody other than drowning them.
In the prologue, in the prologue, it mentions vrill. So it may have been.
I don't think it says that word, but it says.
No, it talks about the power from underneath the earth.
That's what they're talking about.
That's what they're talking about. And maybe they were going to have it, so they threw lightning bolts or threw energy or did something. Yeah, did something to somebody.
See, that'd be cool now that I'm thinking.
But maybe they couldn't afford the effect, so they had to.
I'm imagining. Because, I mean, even in the mid 70s, $150,000 to make a movie was like nothing.
Well, we don't know what the death scenes look like. Because it's always the aftermath. You never really see them kill anybody. It could have been they were grabbing people and they were like, dying that way.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? But then it didn't look good, so they cut it out. So you never got to see it.
So it just looked like everybody drowned.
Yeah, because maybe they were going to add an effect. Like fucking shot, like, you know, blue glowing effects or lightning bolt type effects. And they didn't have the money to add the effects, so they...
They just said fuck it.
And it was shot to have that effect. How much you want to bet? That's why they wouldn't show it.
But like I said, can we just talk a little bit about how... Because Brooke Adams' character, her name's Rose, right? I think it was Rose.
Yeah.
I just call her Brooke Adams, but because she's kind of famous. So she kind of accidentally discovers that all you have to do is take off their goggles and they die.
Yeah.
They just, like, lay down and die. And their face... Well, wait. Did their faces get a little more rotted looking?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Yeah, things kind of rotted up a little bit.
So, like I said, that's kind of, like... They're sort of like vampires, too, because they're kind of, like, sleeping, like, under the water all the time, and then they get, like, activated for some reason. But they... The weird thing is, like, they're... So, the sunlight, you're presuming, is what killed them, maybe? But the, so I was like, why are they walking around in the daytime?
Them seeing the light killed them.
Okay.
The goggles,
they can look at the sun with the goggles.
With the goggles, but when the goggles weren't there, I guess you're reading too much into it, Jenny.
I'm a writer.
You're a writer. I guarantee.
I think about these kind of things. The screenwriter should too.
Yeah. I guarantee you. What they did was, as they said, well, hold on one second. If these things are such badasses, and the American soldiers couldn't kill them, and they could kill people. With their bare hands, you know, run through machine gun fire and kill people with their bare hands. How do these pussies off this boat kill them?
Right.
Oh, well, they got goggles on them. So why are there goggles on these damn things? It's because if you take the goggles off, they see sunlight.
Their one weakness.
And they die. That's the only weakness that they have. So their only chance is... To take them damn goggles off. That's an Ed Wood solution.
I mean, to be fair, it's not necessarily something that you would think of.
No, you wouldn't think of it. But it's Ed Wood technology.
It is.
Hey, here, I got an idea. If they take the goggles off, they die.
And maybe nobody ever got close enough to them to take the goggles off, so no one discovered this.
Well, a couple guys did.
This Achilles heel.
A couple guys did.
No, I'm just saying previously.
Oh, previously. Yeah, I guess so.
Because, like I said, it just happened that, like, Brooke Adams, was, like, struggling with one of them.
Yeah, she took the goggles
and happened to take them off, and she's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
How fortuitous.
Yeah. Dramatic music gets played
but
in the fucking
You know what's weird,
dies.
Though? That she did that, and then immediately, you would think that she would immediately run and go, you guys. I figured out how to kill him, but I don't think she told him.
Yeah, it's like she didn't understand what she saw.
Maybe she didn't understand how, like, why then she's like, oh, well, maybe he just got old and died. I don't know. But it's like, because I was expecting her to run in and tell them, hey, all you have to do is, like, whip their fucking goggles off, and they'll just, like, keel over.
Well,
but I don't think she ever told
they
anybody.
They don't die immediately, remember? They just let you go and stagger off.
Yeah, and they're just
and they
like,
die
oh.
later. They die later, yeah.
And then, like, later on they looked out and they saw one dead. Oh, can we talk, too, about... The John McEnroe looking motherfucker, okay, right. Who, like, when there's only four of them left alive, three of them left alive. Pornstache, John McEnroe, no, there was four of them, Brooke Adams and Norman's long-suffering wife. And so they're trying to hide from the water Nazis, yeah. And they shut themselves in a refrigerator, at which point the John McEnroe-looking motherfucker has a wig out. Yeah. Now, he doesn't say that he's, like, claustrophobic. I'm assuming that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But he was, like, flipping out. Somebody's like, let me out! Let me out! And he was, going to shoot them.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, you want to go get eaten by water Nazis rather than, like, sitting in a refrigerator, which was really not that small. It's like, you're not in a coffin. Calm down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he had a fucking freak out. And he even, like, set off a flare inside there, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, so there was that.
789 Tundra said that this is truly a terrifying movie.
It's a weird idea. And, like, some of the imagery, like, especially, like, the Nazis coming out of the water and, like, and the lack of score, like, is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And then, it does have some creepy imagery.
Pat Hatfield says that he's seen it in the it was at the drive-in all the time. He saw it a couple times, two or three times. You gotta remember, it's not a graphic movie.
Yeah, there's no blood, there's no blood, nothing like that. Nope. It's not gory.
Nope. It's just, it tries to scare you without having any money behind it and no special effects. So it's I think it's PG rated.
I think it is too.
It didn't even have any nudity in it, did it?
No.
All right.
So just bouncing bikini boobies.
When I was a kid, it scared the shit out of us. An adult, it's funny. It is a fun watch. If you're drinking,
Like the only... you can really tell... Like I said, more power to you if you can make a fucking movie.
It's a retro movie.
For $150,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's even mildly entertaining. You know, good for you, because it's, like, really difficult. But it's a little... I will say that you can... Its lack of budget really kind of shows, because particularly in the middle and even toward the end, it gets a little baggy.
Yeah.
In the sense that... They're like, well, we need to make this 90 minutes or however long it was, 88 minutes. So there's, like, lots and lots of scenes of people just, like, running through the swamps.
Running through,
like, away from the Nazis. Yeah. There's, like, a lot of that.
I always have a feeling that it's happening right outside Disney World. And Michael Caine's fucking in there watching somewhere from the
Well, it's movie. Where they shot it was pretty much right outside Miami. Yeah. It was just, like, a big swampy park in Miami somewhere. Yeah.
But it's a super good, entertaining, retro, mid-70s Florida movie.
And, I mean, you can't go wrong with Peter Cushing, right?
No, Peter Cushing.
And John Carradine, too.
Yeah.
Although he gets killed pretty early.
He's got a couple cute girls in it and a bunch of zombies. I mean, you know, what more could a guy with a drink in his hand ask for when it comes to retro 70s movies? And it's got a lot of kind of, like, half-assed dialogue. It doesn't have any score that I remember. It doesn't have any score, does it? Just sound.
That's what
effects.
I was thinking. That's why it kind of gave me that Let's Scare Jessica to Death vibe, because that kind of had some music in it too, but a lot of it didn't. Right. So they had, like, a lot of these really weird, because Let's Scare Jessica to Death also had that scene where the vampire lady was like coming out of the water and it was, like, silent and it was like really creepy. So this has, like, a lot of shots like that.
Yeah.
So it's a creepy idea, like these dudes just, like, walking around in the fucking... And honestly, I gotta say, like, the cast, they probably didn't get paid much.
Yeah, they didn't.
And, man, they were troopers, because I'm sure it was, like, 4 billion degrees, and I'm sure they were getting eaten alive by mosquitoes, and there was alligators and water moccasins and all kind of crap. Now, snapping turtles.
The movie, to me, is in the spirit of Death Ship, similar to Death Ship, although Death Ship is a lot higher end.
Yeah.
You can tell there's a lot more money in Death Ship. Tonally, kind of almost like a cheaper version of Night of the Living Dead. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Kind of like the first Night of the Living Dead. Yeah, I would put it there with that. But color. But they're attempting the same thing. They're trying to make a zombie movie for no money. And make it interesting.
Yeah.
And I think they pretty much do it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, if you like Nazi exploitation movies and you like a kind of a quirky, weird, eerie...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit surreal.
It is.
It has a little bit of...
an Italian one. if you ask me.
Well, it depends. It depends on what you're looking for, I guess. The Italian ones tended to be a lot more gory.
A lot more gory, yeah.
So if you want to see people's eyeballs get gouged out and everybody's intestines falling out and shit like that, then yeah, you got to watch the Italian ones. Because this one is like, there's no blood in this at all.
No. To me, it's like Nazi zombies, Night of the Living Dead, the first one, and the very first Friday the 13th. It's that kind of low budget, but even lower budget. There's no gore in it, which in a way kind of makes it acceptable for kids in a weird way. It'll scare the shit out of kids and not show them a drop of blood.